welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, before I get to the Wide Open series, I want to just talk a little bit about the hurricane response. No doubt you've watched and seen some of the horrific, unbelievable footage that we've seen of videos and pictures from what's happening with Hurricane Harvey down in Houston. And it's just really tragic. I can't even imagine, losing my home like that, losing everything I have in a flood situation, losing people. But the reality is it's happening right down the road from us, really, in many ways. I have many friends who have been impacted by it. Maybe some of you know people in Texas who are suffering through the hurricane. And I wanted to just give a real quick update about ways that we can respond as a church movement. The Vineyard Church movement of 600 churches around the United States, there's actually 16 vineyards that are down in the Houston area that were affected by this hurricane in one way or another. Last weekend, many of them didn't have any kind of church Sunday services. A lot of them are still choosing to, make sure that they are out in the communities, giving people what they need, helping with cleanup as things come down and help out get better. And so today I want to pray for those churches by name, but I also want to let you know there's a couple ways that we can get involved. Dee Dee and I gave to Convoy of Hope. There's a lot of different options for where you can send money, Salvation Army, a lot of really good places, but Convoy of Hope is a wonderful organization that is doing amazing work. They have tons of resources that are down in that area, and it's the group that the Vineyard Movement is partnering with to be able to give assistance in some way, through money or through helping people get involved. So we're coordinating efforts through Convoy of Hope. If you're interested in donating to them, you can go to convoyofhope.org and do it right online, or you can even do it through the church. We'll make sure that those resources would get there. Just make sure you put Convoy of Hope on the memo of the check so we know. Or I know, because there's many people personally who are good friends of mine who have been impacted, they're starting to ask for people to go down and help. If, with cleanup or whatever, distributing resources. If you're so inclined, if you have time, if you're able to do that, you feel drawn to doing that, please let me know, and I'll get you connected with one of the churches down there, and you can get on the ground and see things firsthand and be able to help in that way. So there's lots of possibilities for that, but truly be praying, because praying is the first thing we do. It's the best thing we can do, but there are other things that we can move to action too. So let's pray for these churches. Like I said, there's 16 different vineyards, so we're going to just pray for them. Wow. They're members. Many of these churches, most of these churches are about like the size of Hope Vineyard or smaller. And so just think of like this place being flooded, or, your homes being ravaged. There aren't a lot of resources for a lot of these churches. And so let's lift them up and pray for all the residents who are affected by this hurricane. Lord, we're humbled when we see the power of nature and what it can do. Something like water that can just bring this wreckage to cities and to communities. And Lord, we lift these communities up. We lift all of them up to you in the Houston area, those that were affected by this Hurricane Harvey. We ask you, Jesus, to bring comfort to them. We ask that you will bring all the resources they need, favor with insurance companies, help them to really know that you're with them through this whole thing. And specifically, we want to lift up these Vineyard churches that have been impacted directly by it, the Trinity Vineyard Church in Cypress, the Vineyard Church in Stafford, Sugarland, the Vineyard Church in Katy, Texas, and the Houston Vineyard Church, the One River Vineyard Church in Meyerland, the Vineyard Church in Pearland, the Vineyard Church in Galveston, and the Vineyard Church in Conroe. We pray for the Vineyard Church in Huntsville, the Vineyard Church in Lake Jackson, the Vineyard Church in Clear Lake, God, we pray for it, the Ignite Vineyard Church in Bay City, the Vineyard Church in Spring, Texas, the Center Cristiano de la Vina in Cypress, Texas, and the Vineyard Church in Tomball, as well as the Humble Kings Vineyard Church in Kingwood. Would you meet every need that is there, Lord? Meet every need that's there and bring encouragement and strength as they navigate moving forward out of this wreckage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying, and thank you for keeping them in your prayers. We'll keep updating things. If we know more information on the Facebook page, we'll keep doing that. We have been in a series called Wide Open, Experiencing and Worshiping God, and we've been looking at how worship flows out of our experience with God. So we experience who God is. We see who He is, what we know about Him, both in our heart and our head. It's a connection. We experience God, and then it determines how we worship Him. And so we want to keep pressing into knowing God more and more, because worship is what we were made for. It's why we were created in the first place. Worship is why God created us, to be people who give Him glory and reflect His glory to the earth. It's more than just going to church. It's more than just singing songs on Sunday. It's more than just giving an offering or praying and reading your Bible. Worship is a way of life, and it encompasses all of those things. It's not just one of those things. It's everything. How we think, how we act, what we do. And we've been encouraging all of us in this series to open ourselves wide, just like that person on the mountaintop right there. Open ourselves up wide to receive everything that God wants to show us about Himself. And we believe that as God reveals Himself more and more and more and more, that our response in worship will be commensurate to what He shows us. Now, I believe that this is a universal truth for most Christians, is that our God is too small. The God we know is too small. And that does not mean that God is too small. I'm not trying to say that God is a powerless God. No, I'm saying that for most Christians, our God is too small. What we expect Him to do, what we know about Him, what we understand about Him. You see, there's always more and more of God to be revealed. Every time we see pictures of Him, every time we experience Him, and we think that's awesome, that's just scratching the surface. There's more and more that He wants to show us. And He's eager to do it. He's eager to reveal Himself. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "If you look for Me wholeheartedly, you will find Me." And so that's a promise from God that if we look for Him, if we seek Him, we will find Him. And so if we ask Him to reveal Himself, show us how big You are, He will show us. And the reality is, He's much bigger than we could ever know. We know that God's love knows no boundaries, because in Romans, the book of Romans, it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not anything in all creation can separate us from God's love. We know that His power is unrestricted, because Paul tells us in Ephesians that His power is at work in us, and it can do infinitely more than we could ask or imagine. And if you're not a fan of the dictionary, the word infinite is a big number. It's an infinite number. It just keeps going and going and going. And we know that God's grace also has no limits, because through Jesus Christ, Paul tells us that the grace of God has been revealed, and it's bringing salvation to all people. And the word "all" means all. Not just some, but all. His grace, His power, His love, it knows no limits, it knows no boundaries, it keeps going and going. And that's the kind of God we want to keep pursuing. Our God is too small right now. So we need to keep asking God, show us more of who You are. Reveal Yourself to us. We want to see God's bigness, just how big He is. God's bigness, ask Him to show us more of Himself on a daily basis. And it's my conviction that part of what limits us from truly seeing God and all of His glory and more of His bigness is that we, on the whole, spend too much time focusing on our own little bubbles. Amen. Our own little spheres of life. Amen. We spend too much time being sheltered from the big world. God's big world. We spend much more time looking inward at our own situations than we do looking outward at what God wants to do through us in others. Amen. And this is common. It's not to condemn. It's to just reveal. I think that we have to be continually stretching outside of ourselves. It's really easy for us to be inward focused, though, isn't it? I mean, I am quite a bit of the time. I find myself worrying about my own finances. I find myself worrying about my family, my house, my job, and those things preoccupy my thoughts. And I would imagine it's the same for many of us, where we're really focused on what we do. It's easy to get in a rut. You know, just you live your life, it's easy to get in a rut. The weeks go by faster and faster. I mean, how fast did August go? When we think about how that just blew by. Here we are in September already. And pretty soon, some of you maybe already are putting up Christmas decorations. We'll pray for you afterwards. We'd be glad to do that. But I know some of you are like, yeah, let's listen to Christmas music. Let's get this going. It's already going to be here way faster than we want it to be. But we get stuck in a rut, you know, the day-to-day, Monday through Friday, getting things moving, and we're with, you know, the same job, we're with the same friends all the time, we're always going to the same places shopping, we're always on the same websites, we're always eating in the same places, we always get our news from one source, whatever that source is. We're always easily keep building that rut. We're just digging it, digging it, digging it. But God wants us to expand our world. He wants us to be able to see what he loves. He wants us out seeing just his great big world and intentionally seeking to know what he cares about and what he adores. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, recently had a trip to Taiwan where I got to see, once again, stepping outside of my world, I get to see some of the things that God's interested in. And every time I go on a trip like that, it opens my eyes up. It shows me more of his heart. And God speaks to me through his Holy Spirit. Now, please hear me. Don't say, you know, I'm not prescribing that everybody has to go on a missions trip in order to see God. Because as you'll see as I talk in a little bit, I think right here, right now, we just have to have eyes to see what he's up to. And focus outside of our own little bubbles. But this Taiwan trip, I returned last Saturday night at midnight. And so if you were here last Sunday, you would have seen me. I was fuzzy-brained. It felt like, you know, we're doing a piñata, and they spun me around, and then they spun me around again afterwards because it was only a week and 13-hour time difference, so it's quite different. But with missions, our approach here at Hope Vineyard Church and in our Vineyard movement is to prioritize partnerships rather than specific individual missionaries. Partnerships focus on specific places in the world. Now, we're free to also and support other missionaries, and I encourage you, if you have people on your heart that you're supporting, if you have individuals, keep doing that. I'm not speaking against that, but our strategy is to focus on partnerships where we focus on specific parts of the world. And in Hope Vineyard, our partnership that we support is China and Taiwan missions. In fact, 1% of our annual budget goes towards the China and Taiwan partnership. That's the support that we have for them. And so, you know, that's just the money. But also, for the past 5 years, I've gone on a trip to China. Last year, we visited Taiwan. This is my second trip to Taiwan. And overall, it was a great trip. They invited us based on a conference that we participated in last year where we led worship. They said, we want you guys back. And we thought they were just talking, but then they said, wow. You know, they contacted us and brought us back. So the whole purpose was that we would go there to lead worship, we would do some training, and we would meet and encourage their leaders. And a couple weeks ago, I told you about this trip that I was going on. And last year in Taiwan, I had a big regret that I did not try the stinky tofu. Oh. Right? So stinky tofu is a Taiwanese, you know, creation. It's something that they love. You all know what tofu is, right? It's just disgusting on its own. And then, so stinky tofu is deep fried. And the way they prepare it, it has a very unique smell, kind of like you know, gym socks that have been sitting in the corner for about 4 months and, you know, heavily sweaty and those types of things. But even then, the smell, this is a picture of it being prepared. That's what it looks like. The smell, like describing the smell, one of our people on the trip was there for the first time, and he said, "No, you tried to describe it. Nothing prepares you for it. It punches you in the face, like literally. You're walking through, and it's like, whoa." And so, true to my word, I tried stinky tofu. Here's a picture of me, and you can see the expression on Dave's face next to me, pretty much says it all. That was not staged. That was after I took my first bite. It's just kind of gross. It doesn't taste like it smells, fortunately. So it doesn't taste like that, but they set us right next to where they were making it. So it was just like nonstop offensive smells coming our way. But I'm proud to say, yeah, I did it. And what's nice is I had a poker face when I did it. So I'll post the video of it. I was able to eat it, and I took two bites of it, and hey, it's not bad. So what that did, nobody else in the group was planning to try it until they saw me, poker face. And then they all tried it, and they didn't know what, like, they were upset with me. So it was great. I enjoyed every bit of it. But we were there really to lead worship, to meet with their leaders and do some training. And in leading worship, I had a glimpse of God's kingdom. It was a powerful time, and in fact, it reminded me of what we read in Revelation 7. It says this: "After this, I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, 'Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to God forever and ever. Amen.'" And this picture that John writes in the book of Revelation is, you know, that's what we experience. This is a picture of these Taiwanese young adults worshiping God in a foreign language. I don't understand much Mandarin. Just a tiny bit, but we were leading worship in Mandarin. We were together with one voice singing. Sometimes we'd be singing in English, sometimes in Mandarin, most of the time in Mandarin. But it had this picture. I was reminded of this scripture. And on this particular trip, I experienced God in three profound ways that I think really showed me more of his bigness and drew me closer to him. It made me love him more. And I just want to share quickly the three different ways that I think, well, I know I experienced God, but I think this is something that we can experience God even in the midst of our ruts and where we're living. And the first one was that I experienced him in my weakness. You know, in our weakness, we can experience God really in a powerful way. Our culture focuses on being strong, doesn't it? Like, we're supposed to be strong people, strong-minded. We're supposed to have strength. Strength is a virtue for us in our culture. We're supposed to be able to do it on our own. Things, you know, if any kind of weakness is looked at as bad, if you're struggling with something, that's bad. You know, for a long time, it's changing now, fortunately, but, you know, if you struggled with depression, if you struggled with anxiety, especially if you were a Christian, you couldn't talk about that stuff because it was considered you're a weak Christian. You just don't know Jesus because Christians are supposed to be full of joy, right? Well, the reality is we're not always that way. And you know, our culture would say, you got to be strong. But Jesus says, no, you got to be weak because then you can experience me. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he tells us what Jesus says. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Amen. And so Paul goes on to say, now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? How can you be strong when you're weak? You got to be strong. That's what our culture says. But no, Jesus says, when you're weak, then I can give you strength. If you try to rely on yourself, if you try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, if you try to do it on your own, that's actually not very strong. But if you rely on me, then you will be strong. If you play it safe, try and do it without my help, you're just playing it. But he tells us, be weak and get out near the edge. Be pursuing this dependency on me. Because if we try to be strong, there's no room for Jesus. There's no room for him to help us. We need to just always be dependent on him. And there's few things that can make you feel weak and helpless and defenseless faster than just immersing yourself in a foreign country and being part of that culture. And so we were asked to come over for this conference. and we arrived there. It was a 15-hour flight from Chicago to Taipei in the north of Taiwan. And then we took a high-speed train for 2 hours down to Tainan, which is in the south of Taiwan. The high-speed train goes 180 miles an hour. It's awesome. It's so cool to be on that. So we just, you know, you get places faster. And got there, had a little bit of dinner, and then we were rushed to the conference. So we were really tired, up for about, 24, 30 hours or something. And we get to the conference already depleted to some degree. And we arrive, and the conference is going on, and it's awesome. Like, they have these, state-of-the-art sound systems, state-of-the-art stage, lights, all kinds of great stuff. And I started feeling incompetent. Kind of started having feelings of, like, why are we even here? Because they seem to be doing this really well. There was a young adult worship team on stage, every one of them top-notch musicians, leading in a powerful way, singing songs that were familiar to us, even though we didn't understand the words. They were resourced, and that's the thing that we have to understand. Taiwan is a free country versus China, and that's where our partnership is different. So Taiwan, they have freedom to worship, they have freedom to be on YouTube, freedom on Facebook. They have all kinds of freedom. China is very different, however, and so. You almost have to treat them differently. But Taiwan is still Chinese culture, so it has that same thing. And I started feeling like this sense of incompetence and wondering why we're even there. But then I shared this with our team and distinctly heard the Lord say, just be who you are. Amen. Like, don't try to be something you're not. Because we started to think, like, why'd they even invite us here? Because I don't know what we can bring. And God said, I've got something that you're going to give them. Just be who you are. And what it caused us to do is have to rely on him. Excuse me. And you get in a weak position because we were there to lead worship in Mandarin, like singing songs in Chinese. And again, I don't know Chinese very well, but we learned a couple songs in Chinese. And that's a very weak and vulnerable position to be in because you've got 300 kids out there that are, they're experts in that language, and I'm not. So, you feel kind of vulnerable and feel exposed when you're out there. But it's in our surrender and our sacrifice, it's in our awkwardness and our weakness that God can work really powerfully. So I'm going to show you, this is a video of one of our, just a brief video of one of the songs we were leading in worship.
Johnny, goodbye.
What it's like, there's a line in there that is a real tongue twister. And so, like, the first time, last year when we sang it, it was just ren, 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 ren. So they were hoping I would mess it up, but this time I nailed it. It was good. But you feel really weak. Like, when you just step out to do that, you can't help but rely on Jesus to help carry you through. If I feel like I can do this, then more likely I would totally fall on my face. But in my weakness, he is strong. And I lived it out on this trip. The next way that I experienced God is just in our everyday. I experienced him in everyday little normal things on the trip. We can do that. We can experience him in our everyday. And there's a story in the Bible in the Old Testament of Moses who experienced God in the most profound way, doing one of the most simple things, ordinary things that he's ever does. Let's read it. It's Exodus 3, starting in verse 1. And it says, "One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. 'This is amazing,' Moses said to himself. 'Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it.' When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. 'Moses, Moses!' 'I am here,' Moses replied. 'Do not come any closer,' the Lord warned. 'Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God." And so we see here that Moses it was an ordinary day for him. He was doing the most ordinary thing, tending sheep out in the wilderness there, just taking care of the sheep, and something he probably does every day for who knows how long. And then he sees a bush that's on fire, but yet it's not burning up, something he's probably never seen before, I would imagine, because he was very curious about it. But in that moment, in the everyday, the ordinary, just everyday life, God reveals himself. And it changes the course of history because of that encounter with God. Amen. And so, too, we can be experiencing God in the ordinary, everyday parts of our lives. And I just want to tell you a quick story about how I had probably the most profoundly spiritual experience of the whole trip in McDonald's in Tainan. McDonald's, this is the cafe. By the way, McDonald's is awesome in Taiwan. This one here, this is the cafe. You know, like you go to the cafe stuff, they have all of it. They have regular coffee and then flat white. They have lattes, they have espresso, they have cappuccinos, and it's all good. It's not just, you know, it's not watered down. And this was like a burning bush for us because coffee is really horrible in Asia. They drink tea. And so for us to find this, we were at McDonald's. We ate there three times in one day. It was on the way. And, you know, to keep in mind, this is a McDonald's, like, but it's in this really rundown area. It's a super nice McDonald's. Anyway, enough about McDonald's. This next picture shows we're just standing around waiting for our drinks. And in the middle of the picture, I'm standing there and the photographer, Christine, didn't know it, but I was having one of the most profound encounters with God right at that moment, where I'm watching over on the left side. You can see some balloons. There was a party going on. And in this party, probably 30, 40 people, old people, young people, they were probably some birthday party. They were having a great time. doing all these games, you know, just having fun. And the Lord was showing me something about himself in that moment, how every culture, there's joy, because that's how he created us. Like, in every culture, we can have joy. Like, every culture has a love for their family. Every culture in every country around the world, there's love for family. Parents love their children. Kids love their grandparents. That's just like a normal part of being a human being. And he was showing me how smiling doesn't need to be translated. Like, when there were smiles galore in this party, and like, I couldn't understand a word anybody was saying, but I knew exactly what was happening. There was connection. There was a human connection. There was this love for one another and this joy that was emanating, and it was so powerful and profound for me. God was showing me, my imprint is everywhere on all people, that you don't bring the kingdom to Taiwan. The kingdom's here. It's been here because I've always been here. And wherever you go, I'm there already at work in people's lives. He's telling me this. It's like this download that he's speaking to me about what it means to be human and what it means to be made in the image of God, that, you know, he's showing me, even here, you don't know anything about these people. In fact, they're probably, if they are religious or spiritual at all, they're probably Buddhist, because that's what most people in Taiwan are. And so they can experience the joy of the Lord even though they don't yet fully know, because God is always at work in us. He's always drawing us, and he can show it to us. And what it really revealed to me is we often tend to divide ourselves based on our divisions. We focus on what divides us, right? Our country, where are you from? You know, what state are you from? What do you do for a job? We're always curious about what do we have in common with people and what divides us. And a lot of times we focus on those divisions. But today, I think in healing our country and healing the world around us, the way forward demands that we focus on, starting with, everybody's created in the image of God. Amen. Everybody can experience him because he's always speaking to us. He goes everywhere. There are no boundaries. And so in our everyday, ordinary lives, God can touch your life, just as he did Moses. For me, I was not expecting that. We'd already been to McDonald's a couple times, but yet it happened, and it touched me. And that was a bigger transformative moment than leading worship or being part of the ministry experiences of the whole trip. As powerful as those were, this touched me deeper. So we have to be ready to experience God in the ordinary. And then thirdly, we need to experience God in humility. In our humility, we can really begin to see Jesus come through and shine. In the book of James, we're told, humble yourselves before God. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. And so when we humble ourselves, we can more experience him. And to experience God, we have to be willing to humble ourselves. This position on the cross is as humble as it gets. And so we've been encouraging us in this series to be wide open to all that God wants to give to us. But have you realized, too, that throughout this is the position that Jesus takes for us, that he is wide open to us, and he wants to wrap his arms around us. Amen. That it's not just us who are wide open, it's our God who is wide open to us. And that changes everything for us. We need to be people that just are humbled. We see a story in 2 Samuel of David, King David, moving the ark to Jerusalem. And in this, we see a great celebration where David and 30,000 of the most elite troops gather together for this celebration as the very presence of God is moved to Jerusalem. And we're told in 2 Samuel 6 that David and all of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs, playing musical instruments, and it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced just with abandonment. He was humble before the Lord, dancing and giving him praise, and as he's doing this, his wife looks down on him from above, and she sees him dancing, and she rebukes him when he comes in. He says, you're making a fool of yourself. You're the king. Kings don't act like that. And what's he say? He says, I was dancing before the Lord. And I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. David laying down his rights, his place, his title as king in order to give God glory. And he experienced the Lord's favor and the Lord's blessings because he was willing to experience him in humility, to dance like nobody's watching. And believe it or not, we had this same experience in Taiwan. Something similar. We had the two nights of conferences where we led worship, and we kept hearing all week about this last night, after we led worship, after the ministry time, the Aboriginals were going to lead worship. And we had heard this. You know, sometimes what's spoken in broken English is hard to discern, so we kept hearing about the Aboriginals. Didn't know what the Aboriginals were, but there was a lot of excitement. Everybody was excited to have the Aboriginals coming. What we found out before then was that those were the indigenous people of Taiwan. They'd been there 5,000-6,000 years. They weren't part of other countries that came to colonize. Even China came to colonize Taiwan. Japan occupied Taiwan up until 1945 when it was defeated in World War II. The Danish came and have colonies. The Dutch, we saw some old forts there. And so it's a complicated history in Taiwan. But the Aboriginals have been there living in the mountain stretch between the north and the south for thousands of years. And this is part of their culture. You can think of it just like our own Native Americans here in the United States. Same thing. So but we didn't know what to expect, you know, about them leading worship. So I had this picture in my mind, but the reality was quite unexpected. And then after we led worship, we were done. And I was just going to watch. And this is a picture of the ladies leading worship in their traditional garb. They don't wear that all the time now, you know. But they dressed up and were leading worship. The guys and some of the young boys were dressed in their original clothing and up front. And then they changed everything on us and said, "All right, spread out." And then we didn't know what was happening because we couldn't understand what they were saying. But we got in these big line. This big line circled around the arena, and we just followed their lead. And this is what happened. Wo'aini means I love you. So they're, you know, singing, "I love you, love you, love you," to the Lord. And obviously, we didn't quite get in sync. This is the Three Stooges. Serving in humility means doing what you just saw, because the whole reason I play an instrument is so I don't have to dance, right? That's not my thing. I don't enjoy that, but yet, it's in that humble time where you just say, "All right, I'm just jumping in, Lord. I'm just going to jump in, you know, whether I like it or not. It's not my thing, but I'm going to jump in." And again, you experience God. You experience the joy of the Lord. You experience just his favor, his delight, and it's so good. And that was a powerful time right there and then, even though it's not like anything I normally do. And so we have to be people who are laying down our lives and serving in humility, experiencing God in the midst of that humility. And that's the thing for you today. I would say, how are you with weakness? How are you with the ordinary, humdrum, ordinary stuff? How are you with humility? Are you experiencing God in those spheres? I want to encourage you as you go through this week to be looking for him in that ordinary, to just admit that I can't do it on my own, and to go for it. Humble yourselves. You know, you might look foolish, but you know what? That's the place Jesus loves to have us be. Just go for it.